Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hey, everybody, before we get to this week's show, I want to let you know we're doing a 25% discount for orchestra-level seating at Squatchella. This is in honor of Father's Day. All you got to do is go to Squatchella.com and use promo code BigfootDad, all one word, to get your 25% off. If you don't know what Squatchella is, it is a live show with four of your favorite podcasts in Nashville, Tennessee. Blurry Creatures, Expanded Perspectives, Ninjas Are Butterflies, and The Confessionals, all live on stage doing our shows in front of a live audience. We are going to have special guests, Timothy Alberino and Ashton Forbes, there as well. If you want your tickets to this once-in-a-lifetime event, go to Squatchella.com and use promo code BigfootDad to get your 25% off.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast. And spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge, and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. If it works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want more shows on a weekly basis, we got you covered. Every Thursday, we drop a bonus show for members only on the app and on YouTube. Two different locations, but it is the same content no matter where you sign up, whether it's YouTube or on our website, which gets you access to the Confessionals members app. Two different locations, same content. Also, go ahead and check out Sasquatch and the Missing Man, available now exclusively at MerkleFilms.com. Many people have been wanting to watch it. They missed the world premiere. Well, now's your chance. It is now available at MerkleFilms.com. Sasquatch and the Missing Man. Me and the team went out to Washington to hunt the Sasquatch with Wes Germer from Sasquatch Chronicles at his infamous encounter location, Ground Zero. And a lot of wild stuff happened, including uncovering a missing person case. So if you didn't watch the world premiere and you want to watch it now, you can go ahead right now. MerkleFilms.com. It's available on demand. And last but not least, we have MerkMerch.com. That's the brand new Merkle Media apparel line offered at MerkMerch.com, M-E-R-K-M-E-R-C-H.com. We have four designs in there and a hat, and more designs to come at MerkMerch.com. All right, today we have Julie Lopez coming on the show, and Julie is a former witch that came on the show to talk about warfare in the spiritual realm. She went through a lot of things. She lays it all out on this show. I had a great conversation with Julie, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. Let's get to Julie right now. All right, today we have Julie Lopez on the show. Julie, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for your invitation.
Absolutely, I'm glad you're here. I'm not exactly sure where I first stumbled across your work. Since stumbling across your work, you've been constantly randomly popping up on my Instagram page and things like that. And I remember reaching out to you, and I'm really glad to have you on today. Since I reached out to you and scheduled with you, I saw you popping up on different people's shows. And so I'm really excited about having you on this show today. And you and I spent some time kind of laying the groundwork as to where we're going today. You are a former witch, and you have a story to share about how it's not something that you woke up one day and decided, hey, I'm going to become a witch. Like some people do that, you know, they stumble into it and they decide to start pursuing it. But this was a generational thing for you, that it wasn't even a matter of a decision, but just a lifestyle, it seems like, correct?
Yes, yes. So what I said to people is that I believe my story is real because I didn't learn it in a book. And I know there's a lot of people that learn it and they experience things. But for me, like my whole family was involved in this. Generations, 4 or 5 generations of my grandmother, great-grandmother, my mom, all of us were actually doing witchcraft. And so it was part of our lifestyle.
And I find that when people have that kind of involvement in it, it's not really a starting point, but for you, it definitely is an ending point. Do you know where it all started, though? I mean, as far as the family history goes, who brought that into your family's generations of witchcraft?
So we don't actually know, and we believe it can potentially go even like years through my ancestors. The last thing that I know is that my great-grandmother, she had this gift. And so she was the one that was actively doing it in our family. And then she trained my grandmother, then my mom, and then my mom was training me. But we believe that's coming from even farther. So it didn't start with her. So we are talking about, who knows, maybe 5, 6, 7 generations. We don't know.
Wow. That's a lot of generations to push back against. What did that look like for you, your involvement? Did you start out in a young age and doing this? Or like, at what point did you go from seeing your grandmother, your mother involvement to your involvement? What did that look like for you?
So for me, since a really young age, so since I remember maybe like 2 or 3, the first experience that I remember was my great-grandmother actually taking me to a man, and they put me inside of a ring of fire. And I was really young. I just remember myself being inside of this circle and both of them doing things to me. And but for me, that was normal. Like I didn't, growing up, I never thought, oh, this is witchcraft or this is weird. Because when you grow up doing certain things, they become part of your culture and they become part of your DNA. So for me, growing up, seeing my mom, because by the point I was born, my great-grandmother was already 70 years. So she wouldn't be that involved in witchcraft as much, but she would still do certain things. But for me, growing up, that involved me seeing my mother doing rituals, doing the cleansings of the house, doing all of the things to us, and having friends that were witches and doing rituals. And then when I became a teenager, that's when I started to be like more involved in that.
Hmm. So you said that this ring of fire, what kind of witchcraft is that? And what did that whole ritual, what was the purpose behind that ritual? Do you know?
So At this point, I never asked my great-grandmother, to be honest, but I know that rings of fire could mean different things. If it's made with leaves, with different things, it could be for protection, but also for initiation. So my great-grandmother, I mean, maybe they were initiating me by that point. And I started to experience so many spiritual experiences from that point that, you know, I could see darkness, but I could also see angels. And my family weren't even Christians. So it's not like they were putting in my head certain thoughts or comments. I wouldn't even hear them say anything about demons. So that's why I know this is real, because from a really young age, my spiritual senses were activated. And it was like suddenly I was introduced into this spiritual realm, and I could hear these demons speaking in tongues, and I could hear them like entering the room and touching me. So it was really a strong experience for me.
All right. I've never heard anybody say that before. You heard demons speaking in tongues.
Yeah, yeah. So that was one of the first strong experiences that I had. I was around maybe like 4 to 5 years old. And I remember I went to sleep with my mom. I wasn't sleeping and I wasn't dreaming. I was awake. And I remember this being entering the room. And he was speaking in tongues, but his voice was evil. Like, as soon as he entered in the room, the atmosphere changed. And I could feel this evil presence, like fear and panic. And he was speaking in tongues. All I could hear him was saying, like singing, because he was singing in this weird language that I couldn't understand. But I know now they were like demonic tongues. And when he came next to me, he started to touch my legs, and I could feel his hands were really hot. And I believe what he was doing to me, he was releasing something over my legs, like some sort of course, because for many years I had knee problems. I was, since I was young, I was always involved in sports, dancing, doing basketball, ballet. And then as soon as I hit 13, I had like an issue on my knees, and I had to stop every type of sports, dancing, everything. And so I believe that for many years, that experience that I had with that demon impacted my life in many levels, until a few years back, I realized that there was a curse, and I had to break that curse over me.
I hate to go down this road because I don't want to jump the gun, but I don't want to forget either to ask you this. So based on the idea that this demon was speaking in tongues over you, how do you view speaking in tongues then? Is this a demonic language, an angelic language? Is it a godly language that demons learned from God?
Let me tell you something. So that was the first time that I hear a demon speaking in tongues. But growing up, as I was being trained to be a witch and learning all of these different things, when we used to do rituals, we used to speak in tongues too. And so to initiate the ritual, we were come together in a circle. A circle means unity. And all of us will start to just speak in tongues and then invoke these demons. But when I became Christian, I realized that I thought tongues for me were demonic. I always rejected tongues because of my experience. Until one day, I believe the Holy Spirit told me, the enemy doesn't create, the enemy copies. Don't think that demonic tongues, that tongues are just for the kingdom of darkness, but the enemy has copied something that I have given to my people. And that's when I have to repent. And a few months later, I received this impartation of speaking in angelic tongues, like different. And I knew, okay, this is from God, because now I'm realizing, me coming out of darkness, that there are so many similarities between darkness and light, and how the enemy tries to copy everything that was given to us. And tongues is one of them. So I wouldn't say tongues is bad, but demonic tongues are bad. So it's just identifying the spirit. And if someone is speaking in tongues, identifying like, okay, what is this? What is the source of this? And asking the Holy Spirit for guidance.
Interesting. So is there an actual, in your mind, a distinguishing, was it like a style of how would the more angelic versus demonic speaking of in tongues, like when you're speaking in tongues as a Christian, is there like an audible difference, or is it more of a spiritual from the heart difference?
I think for me, hearing how demonic tongues sounds, I could say by hearing, but also in the spirit. Why? Because when you are hearing those type of tongues, you feel fear. You feel like this darkness just entered the room. Like if you are sensitive in the spiritual realm, you notice it straight away. So for me, I could hear and identify these sounds demonic. But at the same time, in my spirit, I could tell, okay, this is why there's fear in the room. Because the presence of God and light doesn't introduce fear or darkness. It's the opposite. It's freedom and joy and, you know, all of that. So that's why for me, I can identify from by hearing, but also in my spirit.
Hmm. So you said when they did the ritual when you were a child, you started seeing the spiritual realm, essentially darkness and angels. At what point did you start seeing angels? I mean, I'm assuming when you said that, you meant you were seeing angels while you were in witchcraft. And so what was that experience for you? Like, was it something where you knew what you were seeing and you viewed it as almost the enemy? Or did you see what you saw and not totally comprehend exactly what it was?
Exactly. I was so young that I didn't know, okay, what is good and what is bad. All I knew was that these experiences that I was having with these demons, for me, I was really scared. I had so much fear because that was what the atmosphere was bringing. But then at the same time, because I believe at that point, now that I grow up and that I understand more, I realized that at that age, there was like a fight for me. I felt that the angels were fighting for me, but also darkness were fighting for me. And I felt it because almost at the same time, I had different accidents. I got hit by a car and I felt literally how someone lifted the wheel of the car and it didn't crush me. All I felt was my leg, the wheel of the car passing by, but I felt like someone lifted it. And I didn't have any issues. And at the same time, I also had another encounter where I was riding a horse and we were going really up, like a really high hill. And all I could see at the back were stones and mud. I could have died. And all I remember was I was literally falling and I was grabbing to my good father. And as I was falling, I felt someone grab me from my waist and put me on the ground. And when I look around, it was just me. And then everyone was just looking like, what happened? How did she stand? And I literally was standing between two gaps. So there was a hole in here that I could have literally fall into that gap and die. And my legs was like stepping into those two things, and the hole was in the middle. So all of those experiences at that age, I realize now, like it feels for me like there was a fight in the spirit. At the same time, one of my aunts, she was Christian, and I remember that she was taking me to church, and I had flashes of when I became a Christian, why the Lord was preserving my life, and one of the reasons was because my aunt consecrated me for God. So even though my great-grandmother and all of us, they were just doing witchcraft and I was having all of this warfare, at the same time, my aunt, by taking me to church, she was consecrating me in the altar. So that's why there was like this fight of like, no, she belongs to light, and no, she belongs to darkness, and that fight. But I realized that after I become Christian many years later, I was asking God one day, why I'd never die. Like, I had so many cases, so many opportunities where I think about those situations and I should have been dead. Why I never die, God? Why I never? And I was just asking God, why? And then he started to give me these flashes, these flashbacks of my aunt taking me in secret to this church and consecrating me in the altar. And now me having all of this warfare with darkness and then light. And so it was really impactful for me after I met God, how, you know, all of those experiences were real for me.
Yeah, it sounds like the actual warfare over your life was very apparent, even while you were within the witchcraft. You had mentioned about fear of demons, and I'm assuming that fear of demons was there while you were pursuing witchcraft. Is the demonic realm something that you were taught about to accept and embrace? Was there a sense of acceptance from your mother and your grandmother, and you feared it, or was it something that, you know, you were seeing, you were experiencing, but nobody around you would acknowledge?
So when, especially for us that we were involved in witchcraft, we knew that even within witchcraft, there would be demons and spirits, bad spirits that could enter at the time of you doing a ritual or something. So you will have to do certain things to protect yourself from those demons. We also believe that, okay, if you leave those bad spirits and you don't do bad things, those things won't come to you. So we were aware that the spiritual realm was real, but we were aware also of bad spirits that we could maybe work with, and they can come and trick you. And so we were aware of that. For me at that age, I was so young that I didn't know. And all I could feel was the fear coming in the room. But eventually, as I was growing up and as I was having more understanding of the spiritual realm, I realized that I was just partnering with darkness, even like without me thinking about how dangerous that was. Because now it became so normal that we believe like, okay, we have the power. And if you have this power inside of you, you can control and you can do certain things to bring protection to you. But at the same time, you can work with these entities to do certain like bad things and courses and rituals and things like that. So at that age, I didn't know. They never told me. So it was just me knowing the atmosphere is weird. I'm feeling fear. And growing up now, understanding that, okay, we are witches. We believe in the spiritual realm. We believe in spirits of light, but there's also spirits of darkness that can infiltrate your house or the rituals and all of that. So we were aware of that. And then we ended up partnering more with those demons later on.
So spirits of light, spirits of darkness, I mean, did you guys view the spirits of light as angels, or were these like spirits that, you know, you just viewed as positive, but in reality were negative? Because what it sounds almost like, to a certain extent, there's a lot of faith being placed in your own worldview and trusting that, oh, I believe that this is a positive entity, so I can dabble with this one, but this one's negative, so we're going to stay away from that. There's a lot of like reliance of my own faith and wisdom to differentiate between the two. So when you say spirits of darkness and spirits of light in those moments, when you say spirits of light, were those spirits of light angels, or were they just perceived spirits of light?
So we used to believe that those were angels and also familiar spirits. But this is dangerous because the Bible says that the enemy dresses as angel of light. And a lot of experiences, especially towards the end that we had, we believe that they were good. But in reality, they were demons. They were principalities that were coming for us. And at that point, we never understood, even though you know, when you are a witch, you know, when you understand that, okay, there's good spirits, let's say angels, archangels, like we used to work with archangels, apparently. And then at the same time, knowing when an entity, a demon, a bad spirit is entering in the room and you will have to do certain rituals to cleanse your house, to protect your house and your children and blah, blah, blah. So it was all, we knew, but darkness is really interesting because they are going to come to you as angel of light. They are going to present themselves to you as, I am this archangel and I'm here to protect you. This spirit that came from your grandmother or from your great grandmother, and they sent me here to protect you. So they make it look like it's all good, but in reality it's not good because the source is evil. The spiritual realm is something that is really important for us to understand, that accessing the spiritual realm, you can access it by many ways, but there is only one way that you can access the spiritual realm in the legal way. All the other ways are illegal. So when you are accessing the spiritual realm through those entities, through those doors, you are basically becoming a thief in the spirit, because you're accessing that through the way that's not the way, and the only way is Jesus Christ. So the moment that you enter into that, you're dabbling and you're entering into you partnering and making a covenant with darkness without you realizing, even if you think that you are just doing good things and white witchcraft and new age and all of these things that look like it's just positive and good energies, all of that's wrong, because you are already accessing the spiritual realm through the wrong way. So all of those things, even if you think is good, is bringing consequences to your life. And I'm telling you, because in my life, we practiced different types of witchcraft, white witchcraft, black witchcraft, green, all of those things, new age, meditation, astral projection, tarot cards, tobacco, reading, crystals, different type of rituals. So, and we move in all of those things. And I know the consequences and the implications that that can have in your life, because I am a living testimony that the fact that I'm here today speaking and sharing this is because I was literally safe from that life, me and my family, because even my mom right now, all of us, we came out of darkness and we repented for that. And now we believe that we are in God's kingdom now doing his work. So that's why for me, this is important that people understand that the spiritual realm is real. The spiritual realm is real, because this is a testimony. I didn't make this up. I didn't read this in any book or learn it from anyone. This is my experience dabbling with different type of witchcraft and how that impacted my family.
That's wild. The fact that you're the generations of attachment in this realm are broken. That's a miracle in itself. When you were talking here about the spirits of light, it got me thinking, because I've talked to, you know, over the years, I mean, we're coming up on 650 episodes. I've been doing this for 7 years. You talk to a lot of different people. And one of the things that I've heard a lot over the years when it comes to the new age side of things, when people are involved in new age, they're actively working with their spirit guides. And those spirit guides treat them fantastic until they decide to start following Christ and becoming, going out of that life and into Christianity. It's almost a consistent thing that I've heard where, and it, granted, I mean, I haven't talked to thousands of new age people, but the ones that I've talked to have said that their spirit guides became violent, became very dark. They saw a brand new side of that spirit guide. And I'm wondering, did you have any of those kind of instances when you started changing, you know, your lifestyle, that these spirits of light started showing a different side of them?
Yeah. So by the time I was 12 and my mom had a witch that was moving in white witchcraft. So she saw me and she told my mom, your daughter has a gift. Let me train her. So she started to train me about learning about the declaration of your words, how to control your dreams, and reading Y candles. So using all of that power basically for good things, right? To attract all of those good things and helping people and blah, 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 all of that stuff, which is wrong. And then years later, we moved to a different city. We were in Spain by this point. And we moved to a different city. And now my mom started to become friends with another witch that she was moving in black witchcraft. She will do she will jump between good and bad and all of those things. When she saw me, she told my mom the same. She said to her, your daughter has a gift, but she was so desperate. Like suddenly she saw something and she was just like desperate telling my mom, your daughter has a gift. We need to do something. And my mom said, oh yes, everyone has said that about her growing up, that she has something. So my mom said to her, what can we do? And this witch said, okay, let's do a ritual and consecrate her to a spirit guide. Now, this spirit guide is a principality, but also this spirit guide doesn't accept anyone, only those that he chooses, right? So you basically enter into the ritual almost exposed at another demon coming in. So it's basically, this type of ritual is dangerous because you are asking this spirit guide to come to guide you and to be your kind of like your mentor and blah, blah, blah. But then we were aware that something worse could come, right? So we did the ritual and they dressed me in white. Everyone was dressed in white. They put me like in the middle of this circle. And this witch, she just started to invoke this demon. And this spirit guide came and he accepted me. So then that's when they realized like, wow, she carries something so powerful that this spirit guide won her. So I was like, okay, this is great. Awesome. Great. So what do I have to do now? So they told me how I have to interact now with this spirit guide. I started to smell him because he had a weird smell. And I started to speak to him now in the middle of the night. And I started to see him in the spirit passing by. So when he accepted, you know, I started to feel like, okay, I might be really special because they're telling me that I have something. And this spirit guide only accepts certain type of people and he accepted me. So I was feeling like this is great. So then they started to teach me how to interact with this spirit guide and how I could come to him to do rituals, basically like a mentor. And I started to hear him in the spirit, also smell him and see him in the spiritual realm. Every night I will sit on my bed and I will just close my eyes and speak to him. And he will just enter the room and I will feel him passing by. And he will go all around my house, like breaking things. I remember there was this night where I was speaking to him and he left the room. I saw him leaving and suddenly I hear something in the kitchen breaking. And I had a cat, a black cat. And I thought, okay, this is my cat. But when I went to see, my cat was in the other corner of the room and he was sleeping in the other side. So when I went to the kitchen, I literally felt his presence and I knew he's been here. So, but for me, I wasn't scared. It was like my friend. So he will give me dreams and we have this coin that mean covenant between me and him. So all of that until eventually it started to become heavy because I started to have all of these suicidal thoughts. I started to now have nightmares and being depressed. And I tried to cut myself a lot of times and have pills and they would rush me to the hospital and I couldn't get it. And I know that, you know, when you cut yourself, that's a blood sacrifice. And these demons grow in power when you give them blood. That's why like Satanism and all of these things, they do rituals with blood, whether it's animal blood or human blood, because they understand that, you know, these powers, this entity gain power by blood and by sexual immorality and sin. So by me cutting, I didn't realize that I was giving him more authority and more power to operate over my life. But I didn't know. And that was when at that point, something crazy happened in my family that you know, this demon literally now show his true colors. And something happened in my house that just changed completely the trajectory of our lives and how we encounter God later on too.
So was that something involving your dad and that part of your story?
Yes. So, as I was going through that process, I remember by this point, I went to live with this witch, with the one that was training me and all of that. I was living with her, but before I went to live with her, we did a ritual in the house. So I lived with her for like a week. And before that, we did a ritual in the entrance of the house with all of the witches. And we were there speaking in tongues, trying to speak to this spirit guide. And suddenly this witch started to be possessed. So her face changed, her voice changed, everything. It was like you could tell that it wasn't her anymore. And suddenly this entity came. And he started to speak through her. And this demon looked at me and my mom and he started to say, someone in your family is going to die in 1 week. Now, by that point, I was being tormented. So I thought, it's going to be me. They're going to come and kill me. I don't want to know. So I look at my mom and started to cry. And this demon started to ask, do you want to know who it is? Do you want to know who it is? And I look at my mom and I was like, no, just let's close this. My mom was crying. So it was so shocking for everyone that we closed the session. We closed it and everyone was looking like, what just happened? Did someone, a demon just came in, a bad spirit, or what is going on right now? So we closed the session. I went with this witch to her house. And 1 week later, specifically, we received a call in the middle of the night. Around 5 in the morning, 5 or 6. And it was my mom calling this witch, telling her to take me to the house quick. So she took me to the house. And when I went to my parents' house, my mom was outside with my youngest brother crying. She couldn't speak. And I was just asking her, like, what happened? Tell me, like, what's going on? She couldn't even say a word. So I ran inside of the house looking for my dad. And I was just like, maybe my dad is going to divorce my mom. Maybe he just packed his things and left. So I went to his room, to my parents' room, looking for his clothes. But when I entered, the atmosphere in that house was insane because you could literally feel the darkness. It was like you entering and suddenly someone put like a cloth, like a heavy cloth on you. And I was just trying to walk in that house, like feeling dizzy, like, what is here? And then I saw the light in my parents' room on and I went in and I didn't see my dad, but the atmosphere in the room was just felt so dark. And I ran outside of the house and I was looking outside like, where is my dad? And then I went to the storage that we have next to the house and I just pushed the door and I saw my dad there and he committed suicide. He hung himself. So when I saw him there, like my whole world just crashed. And I was just panicking and crying, like, what's going on? And the police came, the psychiatrist came, and they were giving me pills because I was losing it. That for me was like the worst experience of my life. And they took my dad and we stayed in that house for like 5-6 more days. And we literally have to escape from that house because I could literally see my dad passing by walking, like spirits were literally using the image of my father to make me crazy. And they were passing by and I will see my father and I will be, dad is here. And my mom looking like, what are you talking about? And I could see him passing by and walking and I was losing it. My mom told me that I tried to commit suicide in the first place, that in the same place that he died. I don't remember that. I believe I was being possessed. The house had this atmosphere that all of us, my two brothers, my mom, me, we were having nightmares, dreaming with blood, and it was just crazy. And after 1 week, my mom decided we have to leave this house. We literally packed a few clothes and run away from that house. We even forgot our cat that was there because we were so desperate to escape from that house that we just packed everything and run away. And that house, yes, that's how now we realize that demons now were coming to chase us, because my mom by that point had another friend that was a witch too. And she was one of her best friends, and she was moving in white magic and all of that. The next day after that happened, she called my mother and she told my mom, I saw in the spirit your husband being chased by demons and your husband was asking for help. And my mom was shocked, like, what? She didn't know what just happened. So this witch in her, you know, in her, she was interested to know what was going on. Why is her husband being chased by demons in the spirit? So she tried to astral project to our house. And she said that when she tried to go to our house in the spirit, she saw a black cloth all around our house. And she couldn't enter because there was someone of high rank. She even said that there's someone of high rank in your house and I cannot enter that house. So my mom started to cry. So the witch knew that my dad died because she saw it in the spirit. So she went to our house to see what was going on, what happened. And my mom started to cry and told her, like, yes, he committed suicide last night. Yes, that was before we escaped the house. So this witch told my mom, you have to leave that house ASAP because they are coming for you and for your daughter. And they are going to kill you if you don't leave that house. And if you continue to have partnership with the other witch, she is a witch of high rank and she's coming for you guys. So eventually my mom at that point, something clicked in her mind and she realized, okay, witchcraft just destroyed our family. So after 5-6 days, my mom just couldn't take it anymore and pack everything and we left the house. And she repented for witchcraft. Even though she wasn't Christian, she just told God, God, if you exist, I repent for witchcraft. Because I know that us doing this opened a portal in our house and that killed my husband. And now my daughter, so me, is trying to kill herself and she's been tormented. And even my mom tells me, I have never shared this with anyone, but my mom said that during that month, because I lasted with my mom for 1 month. After that, I left her. I escaped. And I was 18 by that point. My mom tells me that throughout that month, she was being so tormented that she could hear voices telling her, just drive with all of your children and just jump out of a cliff and just die. So she could, even one time as she was driving, she really felt like she just have to do it. But something stopped her and she was just herself. I was battling my own warfare, but she was also having all of these voices telling her, just commit suicide, just kill all of your children in that car, jump out of the cliff and finish. But she was like so convinced of witchcraft that those were demons that she was just holding into the Bible, reading Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 and just telling God, like, if you exist, just do something. So after 1 month, I left my mom and I went to live with my ex-boyfriend. At that point, I was destroyed in every area. I was an alcoholic. I was drinking almost every day. I was having now pills for anxiety, depression, panic attacks. I was doing witchcraft. I was depressed. My life was a mess at 18 years old. I literally couldn't find a way. I was still trying to commit suicide, jumping out of the windows. People will call my mom, your daughter is trying to jump out of a window. Can you do something about it? Or your daughter just, you know, tried to commit suicide. She's in the hospital. So all of these things throughout that year that I was experiencing, and my mom just having also her own warfare, like, you know, her husband just committed suicide and now her daughter is trying to commit suicide. So it was like my family, it was destroyed. My brother also was 13 years old. But at that point, he has started to be now involved in drugs and consuming drugs at only 12, 13 years old. So it was like our whole family was destroyed. We didn't have a way. We couldn't see an exit. And it was just, we are next. We are literally going to be next. Until we have an encounter. And that encounter changed completely the trajectory of my family, of our generations. And that's why I'm here today.
Oh, you can't just leave me with cliffhangers there. We need to know what the encounter is. what was that?
Coming soon, part two. Follow for more.
Yeah, all right. I want to ask you about your dad. What was your dad involved in witchcraft like you and your mother was?
No, he was never involved in witchcraft. He wasn't even interested in that. Like, he will see my mom and me doing things, but and my mom will even do witchcraft on him. My mom will tell him, hey, you want to come? I'm just going to do this for you, for your finances. Or I'm just going to do this for you, for your protection. And my dad was like, nah, but he will do it to please her. But he was never involved in any of that or nothing.
So as far as the suicide goes then, outside of the spiritual realm, was there any reason to believe that your dad was suicidal?
No. And this is this was shocking for all of the family, all of the friends, his parents, so my grandparents from my father's side, because he was the most rational, calm, loving person that you could ever know. He never had any drama or drug addictions or things that will make you think like, wow, he did that because, you know, he's carrying with this. No, he was super calm. He never liked any type of drama. He wasn't dealing with any type of mental health issues. I mean, I know that by that point, him and my mom were going through a rough path, and my father was trying to know if maybe divorce my mom and take me with him. So I was going to go to live with him. But on that day that he committed suicide, my mom tells me that days before, they talk about, you know, being a family again. And on that Sunday, on the 28th of September 2008, we were supposed to go out as a family after months of being separated. And we had a plan to go and spend the whole day with all of the family and being together again. So they were solving the thing. So that's why for my mom was shocking on that morning. Like, why did you do that? Like, we literally just talk and we've been trying to fix our situation and they were in good terms. And now suddenly he's gone. So that's why for all of us were like, how did that happen with a man that he was so mentally stable and never had any, we couldn't see any type of symptoms of like, he's trying to commit suicide before. It was one time he tried to commit suicide and he did it. And he left a letter. So he wrote something to us before he committed suicide. And they found a small bottle of alcohol next to the letter that clearly he was drinking that night. And in the letter, he was just basically giving thanks to my mom. So it was like a goodbye letter, like, thank you for being an amazing wife. Please take care of the kids. It was just crazy. So if now we go to the spiritual realm, what this witch saw in the spirit when she called my mom asking what's going on before she even knew that my dad died, what she saw in the spirit was during that night, she could see my dad being like followed by these demons, telling him to kill himself. And my mom tells me that my dad wake up at 2 a.m. and she thought, oh, maybe she's just going to go to the toilet, and she went to sleep, but she knew that he was outside, that he went somewhere. So clearly my father was walking around the house at that point, thinking about stuff and being tormented, because that's how this witch saw him in the spirit. And then he started to drink, maybe out of desperation. And the thing is, when you drink or you have drugs or alcohol, activate something in the spiritual realm. It makes you more sensitive to see things and to perceive things in the spiritual realm. That's why in so many rituals, you do drugs or you have to be in this state, because that connects you more to the spiritual realm and now you're more sensitive. So I believe it was a trajectory of things. And I have never shared that. This is the first time. But
Well, I thank you for sharing that. I I hear you telling this story of your dad, and it to me seems very clear that it is a very, very much of a spiritual battle. And when the other witch said that she saw the, I think you described it as demons following your dad around. For people who maybe have never seen such things in the spiritual realm, they hear about it through shows like mine, but they've never seen it. What would that look like? Would it have looked like a dark shadow or a human figure? I mean, or is it just the essence and the I don't know how to describe it, other than maybe the vibe, like the understanding that there's something there, or you actually, yeah. Was she actually seeing something?
In the spiritual realm, you see the demons, you see their shapes, you see their forms. Eventually, some people will see maybe shades, but you see them in the spirit. You see how they look like. So the way that she was describing it, it looks like she could see the demons following my dad and trying to speak to him. And she saw my dad asking for help. My dad was going around like asking for help. And so that's why she tried to astral project in the house, because she was trying to go and see what's going on. But when she went to the house, she couldn't enter because she didn't have any legal right, any authority. And there was this cloth. So she couldn't enter. She couldn't help. She couldn't warn my mom. She couldn't anything. That's why a few hours later, she called my mom, but it was too late because my dad already committed suicide. So when she was telling my mom that, my mom tells me that she saw my dad asking for help and those demons like tormenting him, and he just being desperate, and she trying to go to see what was going on and she couldn't. So that's where, like, hours later she called my mom.
Wow. And do you think that it was probably the same demonic entities that were trying to drive your mother to suicide as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. The same ones that were coming for me, my spirit guide, even after I had an encounter with God, that spirit guide came still to torment me because there was a legal right. There was a covenant between me and him, but there was definitely the same ones that were chasing my mom, chasing my dad, were coming. It was like our whole family was being tormented by these spirits for us to just die and just kill ourselves and our family to be just literally wiped out of the earth with my brothers, with my mom, myself, everyone. It was like there was something in our lives that the enemy was like, nope, that's it. You have to die. So we are coming for you. That's how
it felt. Do you think that very thing has to do with where your life is now? Do you think that there was an awareness that they understood where your life was going to go and they needed to chop that off beforehand?
100%. That's why when these witches, my mom was introducing me to these witches growing up, they could see, oh, there's something in your daughter. And especially this last one, she was like, well, there's something in here. We have to do something. So in the spiritual realm, you could see when people carry something so great in the inside of them. It's like when, for example, now I pray for people and I prophesy over people. There's sometimes when I see the destiny of people in front of me and I could literally see what they are going to do here on earth and the impact that they are going to bring here on earth with their lives. And that's why the enemy, before they realize what they carry, the enemy tries to stop that so they don't fulfill what God is telling them to do. That's why so many of you right now, like if you are watching this, you're going through so much warfare. And the reason why you're going through so much warfare is because of what you carry in the inside of you. So before you realize who you are, the enemy is coming to stop you from seeing who you are so you don't fulfill the mission that God has for you here on earth. And I believe that was exactly what was happening to me, to my mom, to my family. Like the enemy was just trying to wipe us out before we could actually know who we were in Christ and what was our mission here on earth.
With your dad and this whole situation, do you have any inkling of an idea as to what specific entity was involved in this? I mean, you said something about the black witch being involved with your family. Did she introduce something, or was it, because I mean, your own spirit guide showed violent behaviors. Do you think that it was your spirit guide that was involved, or was it like a group of these entities that were involved in this?
In the spiritual realm, there's something important to understand, and it's that demons work in ranks. They don't work solo. They literally work in teams. That's why now that I'm a Christian, I don't like to see division within the church, because demons understand unity too, and they work in ranks, and they understand authority, and they understand, okay, who is the strong man? We are the minions, so they submit. So what I believe is that this principality that I was consecrated to, it was like literally my whole family was consecrated to that principality. We give him access to our house through also the last ritual that we did in our house. So how those demons of high rank work, they also have demons of low rank that they will work with. So if he already has an assignment, this strongman, the main one in our house, he will call the other ones to come in. Hey, come in, come in. So that's why like there was, it feels like there was more demons. But there was someone of high rank, a demon of high rank, and the other ones were the minions trying to go around and torment us and putting these things in our minds and oppressing us. And we will see things passing by in the house. There was like a whole, they were really organized. Now that I'm outside and that when I look back, I'm like, they literally were coming for us. It wasn't just one. There was like a whole group of them that were working together to just come against us.
Yeah, it's something that I think as the years have gone on with me doing this, I've come to an understanding. Not that I'm definitely no theologian or anything like that. I would not be the person that would feel comfortable breaking down things technically for people. But I have come to the understanding that there is a hierarchy in the spiritual realm, and there's an order to things. And this is actually maybe a little bit of a different topical conversation, but I just want to ask you, since it came to my head, have you ever had reason to believe or even experienced within that hierarchy of the demonic realm conflict with these beings with one another? You mentioned about the organization side of things, but in my mind, I can't get past the idea that if there are beings and spiritual entities, fallen angels, I call them more rebelled angels. If they're rebelling against God, if they really have that will to see the glory and rebel against it, I imagine over time there would be some kind of rebellion amongst each other within the ranks. Like, there's got to be some kind of ego there. It's like, you know, there's got to be some kind of demon out there that's like, no, this guy's not better than me. I'm better than him. Have you ever experienced anything with that within their own demonic ranks?
What I have realized is that there are certain demons that don't work well along with other ones, so they reject themselves. Now, if we go to people, this is why when you see someone and they carry a spirit and then you see another person and there's conflict between both of them, it's because in the spiritual realm, these two demons don't work well together. So I have seen that. And I think it's possible too, because, you know, they are still evil things. So even though they are organized and they work in rank and they work in groups and, you know, they understand authority and all of the stuff, there's also times where they cannot work with certain spirits.
Okay. So you had mentioned about that, the witch doing the astral projection to the scene. And we've had astral projection pop up on the show here and there. And, you know, I guess my question into this topic for you would be, you know, it's one thing to hear about astral projection like myself. It's another thing to be involved with it and do it. Have you ever yourself done astral projection?
Yes, I did.
So I'm not going to ask you how to do it, because I don't want to know. And there's people out there that may want to do it and they probably shouldn't. But once you've done it and you're in the astral realm, could you maybe describe what that's like as far as maybe the feeling, what you're experiencing, what you're seeing? Is it that much different than this physical realm that we have here that we can feel? Because for somebody who's never done astral projection, I hear about it, but I have no tangible thing to hold on to say, oh, I understand that. You know, it's just something that I hear about, but I've never had that experience.
So for me, when I was in that world, sometimes I did it out of not even realizing that I was doing it, but there was other times when I was aware that I was doing it. Even when I became Christian, there was a time where I felt literally I was leaving my body and I was like, no, I am a Christian now. I was fighting it. So how would it be? How is the feeling when you are doing it? When I was doing it and I knew that I was coming out of my body, it's like I started to feel dizzy and I knew that I was entering into some sort of like trance or some sort of like tunnel, something. And then I will see myself now coming out and I will see my body there. And then it's literally like you could literally pass through walls or fly or go to a different dimension. It's just crazy. And I remember there was one time where I literally went to see one of my friends and I saw what she was wearing. I saw her having an argument with a boyfriend and I knew because I was hearing the conversation, they break up. And so when I came back, I grabbed the phone and I messaged her and I said to her, are you okay? And she said to me, why are you asking? I just broke up with my boyfriend. And I said to her, well, I just saw you. You were wearing this and this. And I saw you. And she was like crazy. Like, how do you know that I'm wearing this? And my head is like this. So that's how can it is. You can literally travel to different places. For me, it's like I feel literally sometimes like I'm just flying or I'm literally just walking by and passing through. Well, I don't do this anymore, by the way. Like passing through walls and passing through things. So in the spirit, like there's no material. It's just all like, it feels like gas. Like you're just passing through all of these things. And the things that you see, how I perceive things in the spirit. So when I used to do it, if it looks the same, but it looks like there is like a veil. For me, the like perceiving it was like a cloth, like a really thin cloth that I was walking through, moving like that in the spiritual realm. So I could see the natural realm, but it was divided by this thin cloth passing by that I will know I'm walking now into two dimensions now.
So this is interesting. And just to clarify, you don't do it anymore. I know you mentioned it. I just want to say it too. But you mentioned about this thin cloth-like veil. Would that be what you would describe as maybe the spiritual veil? Because even on this interview, you've mentioned about portals. And would a portal be just that, piercing that spiritual veil and things from the astral realm, the spiritual realm, being able to have that entryway into this realm of existence that people are having?
Yeah. We used to believe also that on Halloween, right? The veil between the two worlds was really thin. And you could literally pass by the other realm super easy and get the information. That's why on the 31st, there's so many rituals and witches, because they understand that it's so thin that you could just pass by and get all the information and all of the rituals. Everything is going to be more powerful on that night. So I believe that thin veil is the division between the natural realm and the spiritual realm.
Why on Halloween is the veil thinner? I mean, maybe you could give your perception as a Christian versus when you were a witch. I mean, you had this understanding when you were a witch that the veil was thinner that day. We also know that's Halloween when people, you know, walk around doing trick or treating and the whole ritual behind that. But from your perceptions, why was the veil thinner?
Because on that night, it was believed that the spiritual realm, specifically on that night, it was thinner. So that's why there is like a whole story of the Shamhain or something like that. Sorry for my pronunciation. And with the trick or treat, and this entity used to come, and the people used to leave food outside for this entity. So that's when it comes, the trick or treat. So you're literally feeding, giving a food offering to these demons, because that's what it is. You give food offering to the demons so they don't come to you, so they don't attack you, or food offering, or money offering, or drink offering. That's why Halloween is so dangerous. And people don't realize that you're literally just doing a ritual of food offering to these demons. And the pumpkins, what it represents, there is a ritual that is done with pumpkins to a demon that is called Oshun, and is represented with the pumpkins. And what you are doing is basically welcoming that spirit to your house, welcoming the division in your marriage, welcoming the sexual immorality in your marriage. And so that's why in that night, everyone is aware, like people that are involved in spiritism, New Age, witchcraft, because on that night, it's like a bunch of people doing rituals, all of that energy concentrated. But at the same time, in the spiritual realm, it's like there is like the portal is open. That's why like it's kind of like easier, because it's been like that for generations and centuries on that night specifically.
So that's interesting. I'd never heard that part where, you know, you're feeding, you trick or treat, you're feeding the demon to leave you alone. So the imagery there, though, I mean, so you have a bunch of kids running around dressed in costumes, going and getting fed, in almost like they're taking on this role of that demon that wants to be fed. So you have to feed the kids are almost taking on that role. I've never heard that before. It's very interesting. Very interesting. So the astral projection side of things, I've heard about the silver cord. Is that something that's a tangible thing that you have experienced too, where you see this silver cord attached to you? I guess, is it a spirit or a soul that's astral projecting out of the body? I'm not exactly sure.
Well, there is something that is connected. And I know I had someone, that shared her testimony. She used to meditate a lot. And she said that she wasn't even Christian. Her mother was, but she wasn't. And she used to just come out of her body constantly and travel to places and see things in the spirit and see demons. But there was one occasion where she came out of her body, she says. She saw her when she came out, there was a cord linked to her body. And when she was coming out, when she tried to come back, she couldn't enter because there was a demon. She saw the demon choking her in bed. It was choking her. And she was like, literally, she panicked. But then she realized that her mother was a Christian. So she started to call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus, help me, Jesus, Jesus. And suddenly she felt a hand pulled her inside of her body, and she heard a voice telling her, don't do this again. And she felt like someone. So suddenly the core pulled her back to her body, and she wake up and she repented and she gave back her life to Christ. But she describes the experience. I never experienced that where I'm seeing demons trying to stop me from entering in my body. But she tells the story that, that she saw the core, and she saw this demon literally stopping her from entering. And then when she cried out to God, the hand just pulled her back, and the Lord rebuked her, like, don't do this again, because I won't help you anymore. And when she came back, she started to cry, and she gave her life to Christ, and she is a Christian now, and she doesn't do that anymore. So I know it is real.
That's like a holy slap on the hand. Stop it. Don't do it again.
Exactly.
All right. So I have two more things here that I want to hit before we end here. One is more of a, I guess, personal side of things. So when we're talking about astral projection, is it possible? So if somebody out there has ill will towards me, like I was telling you about before we started recording, that, you know, I have a very diverse audience. If somebody out there had ill will towards me and they were dabbling with witchcraft or, you know, some really dark magic or something, and they wanted to astral project to my location to harm me. Is that a possible thing just by the will, or do they need to have any of my possessions to be able to do that, to know where I live? Is it just a mere thing of, I don't like Tony, and so I'm going to astral project to him tonight and try to kill him?
So I want to share a testimony, and I hope I answer this. When I became a Christian, one of the things that I was concerned about was now these witches astral projecting and coming to look for us. Because I know that when you're doing rituals or something, you look for where the person is. You can see, okay, this person is in this place, this person is in this city, and they are doing this and this. So you know. So I was concerned. And one night I had a dream. And in this dream, I had kind of like a cloth of invisibility upon me. And I was walking through this house and I saw a room. The lights were on. So I opened the room and I saw those two witches in bed. The one that was doing the black magic and the friend in bed. And they were doing witchcraft. I could see and hear everything that they were doing. And all they were saying was, I don't know where they are. So they were referring to me and my mom. I don't know where they are. I'm trying to see what they are doing, in what country, in what city. I cannot see. And I could hear them saying, all I see is this white light around them. We cannot see more. So when I realized that they were looking for us, I came out of the room really quiet. And then I wake up and the Holy Spirit told me, and your protector now, and your light, you are covered by me. Which means in the spiritual realm, yes, they can look for you. If you don't know, that's why like sometimes where you're going through through transition, it's better for people not to know anything of what you are doing, where you are going, nothing. Because if people have bad intentions, they can come to you and try to kind of like stop what you are supposed to be doing in that season. So when I wake up, I realized that now there was this, the Lord was protecting me and there was a white light around me that was blinding them from seeing where we were. So they are going to see in the spirit first where you are. And they can, in the spirit, yes, astral project. They don't need your objects or your things to go to your house. Now, I think the most important thing to know in here is, how is the state of your house? Are you protecting your house? Are you living in holiness? Do you have certain objects in your house that open the door to demons? Or is your house protected? Because also when people astral project, they can see the state of the house. If it's covered in darkness, if it's someone of high rank in that house, or if your house is covered in the white cloth of light and brightness and they cannot enter because Jesus is in that house. So I hope that answered your question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I asked that because, so last month I came out with an episode where I had somebody here in studio and him and I are talking and I had two other people at the table. So there was four of us there. And two of the guys had stayed at my house the night before and we were doing some work for a documentary the next day. And we sat down with this guy, Hunter, to do an interview before we set out on our work for the day. And Hunter was sharing his experiences and stuff. And the last thing, he was very hesitant to share with me. And he asked me if a certain number meant anything to me, and it took me aback because it's a 4-digit number. It's my house number. And, he then told me, and Hunter is, he's a worship leader at his church. He owns his own business, highly involved in his kids' sports, very busy guy. And he said that he had a dream last July, and he actually texted me last July saying he had a dream about me. I never even asked him what it was. I was just like, whatever, you know, I didn't even think about it. And he didn't tell me until he was here in studio just a couple months ago. And he said that he had a dream that he was at my house and my house number was the number that he gave me. And he said that, he was standing at the end of my driveway and he accurately describes my house, the way my driveway is shaped, even the road that my driveway comes off of. Like, it was very, very accurate. And he said that it was nighttime and he saw me getting out of my pickup truck. And he said, when I got out of my pickup truck, there was two black cloaked entities or figures, humanoid figures, standing behind me. And he said, I walked back behind my house and those two cloaked figures walked behind me and followed me into my house. And it shook me. It shook me big time because I had just got done doing an interview a couple weeks before that with a pastor in California who, long story short, he had, his father had passed away and who was a pastor. And then one of his father's friends came to him, this is years ago, and said, God told me I'm going to be your spiritual father now. Here's a book and you need to read this book because spiritual warfare is coming towards you, your way. And the book that he was given, he just kind of set to the side and he didn't read it for 8 years. And then that man called him again, who was a missionary in Chile, I believe. And he said, I'm coming to the States to see you. You've been disobedient. The spiritual warfare is starting a week from now and you haven't read that book. And sure enough, a week later, Anton LaVey's daughter walked into his church and she was fleeing the church of Satan and he didn't know who she was and he took her into his home and it started this whole spiritual warfare. Wow. That book that he was told to read and he didn't, I had heard about and bought 2 years ago and just let it sit on my nightstand. I never read it. And I told him, I said on the recording, I mentioned how I feel like God had been preparing me for the last couple of years for strong spiritual warfare in my life, but I just never had any direction with it. It was just a sense. And so it was like 2 weeks after that recording, I had started reading that book. And then Hunter's here in studio telling me what he saw in his dream. And I took it as a confirmation. Like Hunter told me in July, he dreamt about me. I didn't ask then. And I feel like it's because it wasn't meant for then. And I took that dream as a confirmation that yes, there's spiritual warfare coming, because in that 2 week gap, as I was reading that book, I started thinking, am I overreacting with everything that I do for a living? All these conversations that I have with people, am I reading into it too much? And am I just starting to think that, you know, maybe spiritual warfare is not coming my way. It's just, I hear too many spooky stories.
Yeah.
And I just took it as a confirmational piece. And so that's why I kind of went in this direction with you, because it seems like Hunter had an astral projection experience through the dream state, whether it's a lucid dream or whatever. And what those entities were and are, I personally, and Hunter actually does too, get the sense that it was more human than demonic. And when I talked to Pastor Dave Bryan about this, on the guy who I was telling you had LaVey's daughter coming to church, I called him and talked to him about this. I never said anything outside of what I shared with you. He is the one who said that when I was done telling him, he said, those were druids that were following you into your house. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's interesting. So I didn't really know what to do with it. And so since this whole thing has happened, whenever the opportunity strikes with you, clearly, I bring it up just for your opinion on the situation. I mean, not that I need that you have the answers for me or anything like that, but I'm in this period of my life where I'm in this process of discovery and understanding the spiritual realm. And it seems like it might be turning more personal towards me. And I'm not scared. I'm not scared. And that's one thing that I guess I get accused of sometimes online through my conversations with people like yourself. I might come across to people who maybe don't understand my heart behind it as cocky. I'm not cocky. I'm very, very, very confident in who I am, why I'm here, and the whole reason why I'm here being God placed me here. I don't have reason to fear because I sit in the palm of God's hand. And so I'm not fearful, but I would like some understanding as to what's going on.
Well, I believe you are literally touching on something that you are entering into the enemy's camp. you cannot enter into the enemy's camp and not receive some sort of retaliation. So you literally bring in all of these people that have experienced it, kind of like to expose darkness and to make people aware that there is a spiritual realm. This is real. This is what is happening. And eventually there's going to be people that are going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. Even myself, since I started to share my testimony, it was like I'm putting myself here in the open, and I had a lot of people. I know witches trying to come to the house and all of that stuff. But as I said, when you know who you are in Christ and when you are standing, eventually you also need to make sure that you are living the right way. Because if not, it's like you're entering into a spiritual warfare, but you are not prepared, or you are not, you have to be prepared, your house, pray over your house. If the Lord is showing those type of things coming, and this goes for everyone that is experiencing this, you know, if in the spirit someone is coming to your house, well, you know that something is there, because the Lord shows to redeem. He doesn't just show for no reason for you to see. He's showing for you to act, for you to also do something about it, because it's warfare. Whether it's true, okay, now I'm sensing something. Something is happening. Okay, it's increasing. I'm going to anoint my house. I'm going to anoint my children. I'm going to pray Psalm 91 over my house, Psalm 23 over my whole house. So it's also you like doing things. But it's true. When you enter into this world, into this spiritual realm, and exposing and giving people the platform and the opportunity to speak their experiences, like, the enemy's going to be afraid. I have so many situations where every time that I'm trying to share my testimony, the Wi-Fi goes off, or the electricity, or if I'm in a church, suddenly everything goes off. Like, why? Because the enemy doesn't like us to be sharing, exposing his kingdom, so we can know that there is actually a fight, because we have so many people that are passive. They said, I'm a Christian. I don't have anything to do. Everything is done. But it's like, no, Jesus did it all on the cross, but you have to reinforce that victory on the cross. So don't just sit in there and go to church and pretend that everything is done. There is a war in the spiritual realm. And the church needs to awake, and we have to be prepared and be ready and actually be trained and come all together as the body of Christ to push back darkness and push back what the enemy has been trying to bring to our cities and our nations and governments and all of that stuff.
Yes.
But also, let me add something.
Okay.
Christians also can experience those things. So remember that the enemy copies everything, right? So when we are talking about astral projection, they do it out of the, because they want to do it. Sometimes they don't want to do it and it just happens, but most of the time they are doing it because they want to do it. But now when you become a Christian, you can experience those things, but you don't do it because you want to do it. You do it by the Holy Spirit. That's why in the Bible we see Philip. It says that the Spirit took him to a different city. He was teleported. He was gone. So you literally, and I had experiences as a Christian where I had angels coming, telling me to go with them. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. And they take me and they show me things in hell or heaven and different places. So I know that can happen because the enemy copies. But we don't do it because we want to do it. We are submitted to the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that allows us to see certain things, to take us to certain places, maybe to warn people. So I just want to also make that clear, that it is possible for Christians also.
That's interesting. Yeah. And I mean, I gathered because the guy Hunter that was on my show, I've spent time getting to know, that was his second time being on my show. And we had been in communication. I like the guy. And you know, I have no reason to doubt that he is a Christian and he's not masquerading as, you know, maybe he's actually a black witch and just really out to get me. Maybe, but I don't think so. So, so his experience was involuntarily, it happened because I think it was for a purpose that God had, ordained. And so that's how I view it right now. And it definitely woke me up to a lot of different things. You mentioned Psalm 91 several times on the show. I have prayed it over my house, my property, my pigs out back, and chickens. Like, I am very much, and I'm trying to get more and more, I want it to become more of a second nature for myself to wake up every morning, put my feet on the floor and say, it's wartime. Like, every day is ready to fight. And I think a lot of times we wake up and we just go through life on default. And I'm trying to be more intentional with how I live my life from the moment my feet hit the floor to the time I go to bed. So I could talk to you, I'm sure, for much longer on the idea of the angels coming and saying, come with us. And like, that's, I'm really refraining from going down that road right now, because I you mentioned a couple of times, and I would like to maybe end it with your encounter with God that probably changed, I'm assuming. Listen, if you encounter God, it changes your life. I mean, ask Moses. I mean, he couldn't even look at God before without God's glory killing him. So if you could share with people what that encounter was and obviously the impact that it left on you.
So after I mentioned that, after 1 month of my father dying, I left my mom, and I was just, throughout that year, I was just a mess. But then I went to visit my mom to the city where she was staying, and we hear about this church that they were giving prophecies. So we eventually, okay, we want to know about the future, let's go, like, right? So we went there, and all of these people were basically prophesying and saying over us, you're going to move to London, you're going to study. But they were saying the same prophecy for me, for my brothers, for my cousin, for my mom. So my mother got angry. And she started to say, like, you are witches. Why are you just literally saying the same thing? She was so offended in front of the church. She was like, this is witchcraft. And we left the church. She was so angry. We left. But now I went back to my city, and I started to think, like, huh, okay, what if there's something prophecy and I can just go and find my future and a church or something? So I started to ask friends about a church. And someone gave me the address of my closest city to go there to a church. And I remember I wanted to go there because I feel in my spirit there was something waiting for me there, but I didn't know what. Remember, like, all of my life, I experienced darkness, fear, abuse, everything that you could imagine. It wasn't even positive, like happiness or joy. So when I went there, it was a small church. And I remember I stepped into the church and this presence fell on me, and I was shaking and I was trying to identify, what am I feeling? I feel weird. I feel like joy. I feel like suddenly all of this thing in my chest, and now the apostle of the house came and he hugged me, and I started to cry. I literally felt like I was coming home, like I was coming back. And he told me, welcome home. And I started to cry. And I could feel the presence of God fell on me so strong that I fell on the floor and I was just shaking. I couldn't stop shaking. And you cannot make that up, because no one ever told me, oh, you know, when you have the presence of God, you can experience his love and his presence, and you shake or you cry or you laugh. I didn't know that. And I found myself there on the floor of that small church, on the floor, literally crying under the presence of God. And every time that I went to the church, I went to the church for 1 year. Every time that I went to the church, I would leave that place touched and wrecked by the presence of God. Every time I would leave that place shaking and touched by the presence of God. Like, you cannot make that up. That experience, those experiences were what made me gravitate towards God, because I knew this is addictive. This is nice, because I have experienced so much darkness and I gravitated towards darkness. And now God wanted to make sure that all I experienced in that season was just his presence, his love, light. And that was what pulled me out of darkness. And then after I gave my life to Christ, and we moved eventually to London, and I was studying there and I was attending a church there now. But that's when warfare for me started, because even though I was a Christian, I accepted God, this spirit guy now was coming to torment me, and he was coming to moving the things in my room and touching my legs and opening the drawers, and I didn't know what was going on. That's when I started to feel fear, like, okay, I think these are demons. I think this is bad. And that's when I entered a process of breaking those covenants and breaking those legal rights with darkness. And now my husband didn't know my story. He knew that my dad died, but he didn't know the whole witchcraft stuff. And through a dream that he had, he wasn't even Christian, but at this point I was. And he comes one day, I was pregnant with our firstborn. And he comes and he tells me that he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw someone coming asking for permission to come to me. So when I asked him, like, can you describe how this person looks like? And he described my spirit guide. So now I knew there is a legal right here. So I have to tell my husband the whole story of my past, of the witchcraft, of the consecration. And I remember both of us be sitting under a tree in a park in London, me pregnant 7 months, and me telling him the whole story. So now my mom was Christian by then. I have to call my mom and just tell her, hey, this spirit guy is still around. What do we do? By that point, my mom converted and she was learning about deliverance, me too. So we realized, I think there is a legal right. We have to break it. So we came together, we pray, we repent. We broke the legal right. And then my husband, a few weeks later, tells me that this demon tried to come back again. But this time he knew that he told him, you don't have any legal right, leave. So he left and he never again came back.
Wow. So your spirit guide had to go to your husband for permission because of your marriage.
Because he was my cover.
Wow.
It wasn't mom anymore. It was my husband. So my mom gave him the legal right, but my husband had to remove it because he was my cover now.
Wow.
So when I'm telling you that they understand rank and authority, I'm not making it out. They do.
Yeah.
They do.
That's incredible. And it reminds me of a previous conversation I had not too long ago with a woman named Vicky Joy. Vicky Joy Anderson, and she was talking about something similar where, and this is something that I had never thought about before. She said that her father, I don't believe she's married, so it's for her, it's her father, but she said, she was talking to women specifically that were listening, and she said, your father, or if you're married, your husband can enter in on your behalf in defense of you in the dream state. So she's talking about people being attacked spiritually. Wow. And she would pray that God would send somebody to protect. I'm definitely butchering the story, but basically her father would start appearing in these dreams of hers and protect her and escort her out. And not that her father, her in this realm, was having a dream and dreamt that, but the image bearer of her father entered her dream and protected her. And she talked about that very thing, that the legal rights. And I find it very interesting. And as a father of two kids and a husband, I've been married for 17 years. It's 17 years. And I feel like I'm just now starting to understand the gravity of not only, hey, I got to protect my family from this realm of intruders of my house, but in the spiritual realm, that attack happens more than the physical. And so it's taking that
figure. The man represents something so powerful. And that's why the enemy is trying to remove men from society and from the houses. And why? Because men actually represent something powerful in a house. They bring identity, the father brings identity to their children, but it also is the cover of the family. So that's why there's so much attack against the head of the house, against men, against boys, and the abuse, and fathers leaving their children, and now these boys growing up with no father. You see in society what was going on is actually with the young people, with they are fatherless. We have a fatherless generation. And this is a strategy of the enemy, because you know, the how important it is for a man to be established in a house and understand his authority and what he carries, and that he is the cover of the house and Jesus is his cover, but he's also covering the house. So it's another topic.
I'll tell you, this was a fascinating conversation. I really enjoyed it. And if people want to get a hold of you, if they want to look into, you know, your ministry and things like that, where would you like to point them to?
So I have my YouTube channel, Julie Lopez. I do teachings there, videos also on my website. I'm opening a mentorship program starting in August, so people can go there too and subscribe. And I'm just going to be talking everything and training people in deliverance, in the spiritual warfare, and how to protect their house and doing all of those things. And I'm also on Instagram. I'm everywhere. So people just have to look for Julie Lopez Instagram. And that's where I'm more active right now and doing lives there and praying for people and all of the stuff there. And I also have a private community on Telegram, and the link is also on my Instagram, where people can find all the information there.
That's great. Yeah, we'll leave the links in the description of this episode. But I appreciate you joining me. This was we scheduled this, I think, about 2 months ago, and I'm very glad that we were able to connect today. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for the invitation. And yeah, this was probably one of the best interviews I had. I gave more information than I did in previous interviews. So thank you for the space.
Thought my old motto was a VA. I was working four cylinders to death. Put it on me, no teammate. Dreams running on fumes, don't rest. You could bargain for my soul for a mansion and a couple billboards, no less. Yeah, thank God for a couple roadblocks. I don't know if I'd have stopped where the road ends. Looking for the real me, always came up missing, yeah. Try to find it at the bottom of the bottle, and I promise ain't sipping, yeah. Drowning in my vices, I thought I was flying, yeah. Using darkness for my lighting, missing with the timing. Spend years looking for the real me, always came up missing, yeah. Try to find it at the bottom of the bottle, and I promise ain't sipping. Spent so many years on the sidelines, trying to be the highlight, but under the bright lights, breaking all the guidelines. Yeah, missed the boat with no lifelines. Yeah, screaming, I don't need you. Fighting, but I'm free to. Neon lights make a path for my breath, like smoke in the cold every weekend. Spent years looking for the real me, always came up missing. Yeah, try to find it at the bottom of the bottle, and I promise ain't sipping.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.